President Biden and other world leaders at the G7 summit in Hiroshima, Japan, have a full agenda between now and Sunday. At the top of the list for the gathering of the world's richest democracies is support for Ukraine. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has been invited to the summit, and there are indications that he'll be there in person on Sunday. Also on that agenda, China. NPR's Anthony Kuhn joins us now from Hiroshima. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So there's been a lot of back and forth over, you know, whether President Zelensky will be at this meeting or not in person. What's the latest there?
Well, we've been getting conflicting messages out of Kyiv today. The first thing we heard was the head of Ukraine's National Security and Defense Council, Oleksiy Danilov, who's told national TV that President Zelensky needs to be here in Hiroshima because important decisions are going to be made. He didn't say what they were. But then the president's office seemed to walk that back and suggest that he might attend virtually. Japan's government hasn't confirmed anything, but both U.S. and Japanese media have cited anonymous officials and said he plans to be in person.
And the question is, you know, what does he hope to get out of an appearance, whether it's in person or not? What's his message to leaders of the world's richest countries?
I think the G7 has made it pretty clear already in meetings leading up to the summit that they are going to, as they said in a statement, not waver in their commitment to Ukraine, and that they'll keep doing this as long as it takes. But I think the symbolism is that President Zelensky has left no rock unturned in his search for support, and this will be his first trip to Asia, and that will also look good for his host, Prime Minister Fumio Kishida, who's trying to show leadership on Ukraine.
Speaking of symbolism, it's kind of hard to miss with this meeting, isn't it? I've traveled to Hiroshima myself. The power of that place, it's still overwhelming many decades after the first nuclear bomb was ever dropped on this planet. Why do you think the Japanese Prime Minister chose Hiroshima in particular?
Prime Minister Kishida represents Hiroshima in Parliament, and he said that this is his life work, to work to rid the world of nuclear weapons. At the same time, it's very ironic. Nobody has more moral authority to speak about this issue than the Hibakusha, the hundreds of people who survived the bombing. And despite their call to eliminate nuclear weapons, Japan is reliant on U.S. nuclear weapons for its security. And at the moment, it's in a very tough neighborhood with Russia, North Korea, and China all either threatening to use their nuclear weapons or building up their arsenals. And so Japan, even as it tries to push for the abolition of nuclear weapons, wants guarantees that it will be safe under the U.S.'s nuclear umbrella.
Well, in fact, Japan is always concerned or interested in what's going on just across the East China Sea in China. How unified is the G7's approach to what has been called the China problem? What role will that play in this meeting?
Well, on the surface, they're going to be unified, and their talking points are going to be, first of all, that China must act as a responsible nation and that it must not try to change the status quo, especially on Taiwan or the East China Sea, by force. At the same time, Japan has another message, particularly domestically, and that is that they need to build a sort of stable and constructive relationship with China and work with China on issues where China plays a vital role, such as public health or climate change. The problem with that is that China just doesn't buy this idea that, you know, the Western nations can try to contain it on the security front and still work with it on other, you know, non-security issues. If they feel that these nations of the G7 are trying to gang up on them, they're not going to cooperate with them.
And just briefly, Anthony, before we let you go, the president, President Biden's got to leave Japan earlier than expected because he's got to get back to Washington, D.C. For the debt ceiling negotiations. He was supposed to go on to Australia and Papua New Guinea. What's the sense there? Do people mind that the president has got to leave early?
Well, for sure, there are people who are disappointed about it. But this idea that you see in the American media that, you know, U.S. credibility is going to be shot because the president doesn't show up, you don't hear too much of that in Asia. They heard Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen warning what could happen, global economic downturn if the U.S. defaults on its debt. And they've also heard American presidents say before that America needs to lead by example, and that means getting its own house in order first. So I don't think they have any problem with him preventing that sort of crisis.
NPR's Anthony Kuhn, thank you so much.
Nice to talk to you. Thanks.